Father, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you that you are a good Father, Lord, and that we can trust you, Father, and that you love us, Lord. And that love is something, Father, that is so precious to us, Lord. And we don't often realize it, Lord. And we take it for granted so often, Lord. But we thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you that you help us, Lord. Thank you for your presence with us, Lord. And without your presence, Lord, we are nothing, Lord. And we just want to come today, Lord. And Jesus, we thank you for your presence now with us, Lord, that your word says that where two or more are gathered in your name, you are there, Lord. And yeah, Father, it's a privilege, Lord Jesus, to have you here and have your presence with us, God. And we say that's all we need, Lord, to get through this life and to just live, Lord. We just need your presence, Lord. Everything is in that, Father. Thank you for your goodness, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, morning, everyone. It's quite empty this morning. For those of you who don't know, my name's Duncan. I'm going to be talking this morning on leadership, actually. It doesn't look like it from the heading, but you'll see where we're getting to with that. When I was praying about what I should talk about this morning and that type of thing, I really felt that leadership was one of the things. And some of you might think at the moment, will kind of half switch off and go, well, I'm not really a leader, so it doesn't apply to me. But we're going to go through, and I actually believe that every single one of us is a leader, all right? And we're going to explain why and talk about that. But you know, in this world at the moment, and in our country, we have a problem with leadership. Okay, not just on the highest level, but I believe everywhere. I believe that there's a massive void in this country and in the world, actually, for good leadership, all right? And there is, if you speak to people at the moment about leadership and leaders, most of the time, they're not going to have very good things to say about leaders, all right, and leaders in their lives. And there's a distrust of leadership, generally. Would you guys agree with me? Not in every single case. There are obviously good leaders. But generally, there is a massive distrust of leadership, okay, and leaders, all right? And a lot of people have been hurt by leaders in their lives, all right? And, you know, the Bible says that in the last days there's going to be lawlessness and that type of thing, and we're seeing that now. And I believe one of the ways that has come about, and the devil has used or has brought about this lawlessness, is through the hurts that leaders have caused. And because of that hurt, people are deciding, well, I don't need the leaders in my life, okay? All that I associate with leadership is pain, okay? People taking advantage of me, people using me for their own gain. And we're starting to see the fruit of that, okay? A lot of what is happening, if you look at, let's say, the student protests, a lot of it is because people are so frustrated at leadership not taking action, not looking out for the best needs of other people and not for themselves. And that's why we're seeing a lot of what's happening, okay? And it's not just the students, it's pretty much almost everywhere, all right? And so at the moment, it's not a great time for leadership, but I believe that it's actually a time now, and God is almost allowing it for us as Christians to step up into those places of leadership, okay? Now, when I talk about leadership, and that's where I'm getting to, I think that every single one of us, God has called every one of you to be a leader, all right? Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that you take a formal position of leadership, but I really believe that every single one of us, God wants to use us as leaders somewhere. It could be within your place of work, all right? In your sphere of friends, okay, in your family, there are places where there is a leadership lacking, okay? And we as Christians need to step up and take that role, okay? And I believe that God is going to use us to change people's hearts, and we need to be the change, okay? Because if you look at this country at the moment, you know, I look at what's happening at the moment, and I think it was yesterday or something I was reading that they're now thinking of putting South Africa under a state of emergency and all that type of stuff because of what's happening. And I look at this and I go, Lord, if you don't fix this, we are doomed. There's no way that we can fix this without you, Lord. And I believe that God wants to use us. He wants to use us in the small areas, okay? It doesn't mean that every single one of us is going to be the president of the country or the CEO of a company or whatever it is, okay? But every single place where you are, there is opportunity for you to take up a place of leadership, all right? And it could be as small as of simply leading people to Jesus, okay? That's a position of leadership, all right? You're taking someone, you're leading them to Jesus, all right? And so I want to look at a certain person in the Bible who, and I want to kind of relate what happened in his life and how we can take that, okay? Now, just before we start with that, another thing, and this is what I also thought, all right? And please, guys, I'm not coming in a place of like I am now the utopia of leadership or anything like that, but I believe that there are some, you know, a lot of people ask, is a leader born or is a leader made? And I believe that it's both, okay? It could be either one. There's lots of instances in the Bible where God made a leader, all right? They didn't necessarily have the leadership qualities, you know, or the natural charisma or anything like that, but God chose them and God developed them into an incredible leader, okay? So I believe that there are some that are made, all right? We think of someone like Moses, all right? I think Moses was probably a little bit of both. His leadership qualities were a little bit dormant. But if you look at someone like Gideon was another one that I believe that God made a leader. When God called him, he had a lot of fear, he had a lot of doubt, he didn't believe in himself, all right? And God built him up to be an incredible leader, okay? And a leader that trusted God. He was the one who God said, I want to defeat, I think it was the Midianites, by 300 men. All right. Now, if you think of where Gideon came, when God called Gideon, he was threshing wheat in secret because he was so scared of the Midianites. And he took him from that place to defeating a whole army with 300 men. All right. Now, that's what God can do. Okay. That's what God can do in our lives. All right. I also believe that there are some leaders that are born. God has given them a gift of leadership, all right? One of them, I believe, is someone like David. I believe David had leadership qualities from a young age, all right? Even though people didn't see it, he had that fearlessness, that courage, all right? And he was able to inspire people, all right? God obviously used him and built him up even more, but I believe that he was made to be a leader, all right? So in all of our lives, okay, God wants you to be a leader. Whether you think you can lead or not, God has called you for leadership, all right? If I look at my life, and, you know, when I was in school, I had a lot of fear, a lot of doubt. I didn't like talking in front of people, all of those type of things. I didn't see one leadership quality in me at all, okay? And I didn't really want to either. A lot of us, we sit here and we think, well, I don't really want to be a leader. You know, I'm happy with where I am. Okay, but I believe that God is, whether we like it or not, you're called to be a leader. All right, and He wants you to lead in certain areas. You know, and God can raise you up. He can change you. All right, So I mean, in my life, it's the same thing. You know, I had a lot of that stuff. I was, you know, really fearful, really doubtful, all of those type of things. And God is slowly building stuff up in me, okay? And I believe that He wants to do it in every single one of us as well, if He hasn't done it already. All right, so the person I want to talk about is Nehemiah, All right. So Nehemiah, for those of you who maybe don't know, so he was a cupbearer I think it was in the Babylonian time. All right. So he was a Jewish guy. All right. And basically the Jewish nation at that stage was scattered. All right. Jerusalem was in ruins. Okay. There was nothing happening there. And Nehemiah was a cupbearer for the king at that stage. All right. And I believe that Nehemiah's time and our time were very, very similar. Okay. So it all starts with Nehemiah someone brings him a word of, he asks, how is Jerusalem? What is it like at the moment? And someone comes back and says that the city is burnt and the walls are broken down. Okay? And that upsets him. All right? And I believe that time is similar to what we are going through. Okay? If we look at spiritually and what's going on, I believe that in South Africa, our walls are broken down. Okay? There's certain things that are in ruins. Okay? Now, when the wall of a certain area is broken down, what happens? What is a wall supposed to do? It's supposed to protect. It's supposed to keep the bad elements out, okay, and keep the good elements in, all right? And when your wall is breaking down, there's no way of controlling what's happening, okay? There's no way of keeping out those bad elements, all right? There's just, anything can go, all right? And that's what we're seeing in the country at the moment. I believe that there's a lot of walls in our country and in the world, all right? And not just on a big stage in the country, but also, you know, in certain areas, okay? Maybe in your business where you work, there's certain walls that have been broken down and stuff is coming in, all right, that shouldn't be there, but has free access, all right? In the country, a lot of our walls are broken down and there's stuff that's coming in that shouldn't be coming in. All right, and it's causing havoc in our country. All right, and that was what had happened in his time. Okay, and this really upset him. All right, he was really really broken about this. All right, and so this is the first thing. Okay, so in our lives, we need to identify in our areas where are our walls broken down. Okay, maybe it's, like I said, in your place of work, all right, or in your circle of friends. Maybe there's certain areas in people's lives, in your friends' lives, where their walls are broken down, okay? There's no protection against elements, bad elements in their lives, okay? And they're allowing stuff in and stuff gains access in their life that shouldn't be there, okay? It could be on the campus if you're studying. What areas in the life, what areas in your life and in other people's lives that you have contact with, are their walls broken down? Okay. Now, the first thing that happens there is that I want you to see his reaction here. So it says here, so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Okay, so his reaction to all of this was one of deep sorrow, all right? And we need to, I believe we need to get to that place, because often us as Christians, we kind of sit back and we think, oh, well, what's going on is all their fault, you know, I'm not involved with that stuff, you know, they can carry on with that stuff and go, but, you know, I'll sit back and, you know, have my protected life here, okay? But I believe that we need to get to a point, we need to trust God that he puts in a deep sorrow and mourning for what is going on in the world, what is going on in other people's lives, all right? Because when we get to that point, that's when we're going to start taking action, okay? But not action that we think we should take, but action that's on God's heart, all right? So he was really moved to action, okay? He really had a heart for what was going on, all right? The next part, or the next thing that happened in his life, or that he did in reaction to this, was not going out in blazing glory and killing and going crazy, all right? The first thing that he did was he identified with the sins of the people, okay? So when he was mourning and fasting and praying about what was going on and the destruction that was he saw around him, when he was doing that, when he had that heart of sorrow, he prayed, all right? And part of his prayer said, for the children of Israel, your servants, now he's praying now for them, all right? And confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, okay? Now take note, he doesn't say, which they have sinned against you, because I believe that Nehemiah was a godly man, okay? But what he did was he identified with the sins of the people, all right? So us as Christians, in those areas where we see where walls have been broken down, where there's destruction, okay, we can't stand from the outside and say, oh, well, it's your fault that that's happening, okay? I didn't do anything. It was all your fault, you know? I'm sitting here, you know, I have to take the brunt of everything that's happening that you guys are causing. That's not what God wants us. That's not the heart that God wants us to have, okay? He wants us to have a heart of where we identify with the sins of the people, okay? That we don't blame them, that we say, Lord, us collectively, we need you. Okay, not they need you, we need you. All right. And it said, we have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinance which you have commanded your servant Moses. Okay, so the next step in identifying and starting to be part of the solution, all right, is to identify with the sins of the people. Okay, start getting a heart for the people, all right, and standing in the gap. That's what God calls standing in the gap, all right. When we start standing in the gap, all right, then God starts to move. Okay, there's another scripture which is not part of that slide, which I just want to read as well. A very well-known one, which is 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. I'm sure a lot of you know that. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Okay, so this specifically says that if my people called by my name, okay, that talks about us. Okay, we have an opportunity and a responsibility actually to stand in the gap for the sins of others. Okay, we are that's what intercession is. Okay, intercession is standing in the gap for other people on behalf of someone. All right, and us as Christians are called to stand in the gap for the sins of the world around us. Okay, and then God's promise is that if we turn and we change our hearts and we stand in the gap, then he will start bringing healing in this land. Okay, all right, so then. All right. The next thing that happens, and the next thing that Nehemiah does, is he takes action. All right, he doesn't sit and do nothing. All right, and kind of mourn and weep and feel sorry for himself. He takes action. Okay, so he approaches. The next step is he approaches the king, and he asks whether he can go to Jerusalem to start fixing the problem, to start rebuilding the walls. All right. So he says there, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Okay? So what he does is he starts taking action, all right? Actual steps to rebuild the walls. Okay? And in our lives, we need to do the same thing. We cannot, as Christians, sit back and do nothing. Okay? We really need to, and we need to ask God. And the thing with this is that the type of action that we need to take is not something that we think is best, okay? It's really a place where we need to go to God and say, Lord, what do we need to do, all right? It starts firstly in prayer, okay? We need to go and seek God's face about what is going on in this world, all right? What is going on in your extended family, okay? What is going on in your work, all right? What is going on in your campus? Ask God. Start with prayer. And trust God and ask him to give you plans and steps of action. Okay, it could be something as simple as, you know, giving words to your friends in your workplace, all right, or in your family, or whatever it is. All right? And often the way that God wants us and the actions that God wants us to take is not what we would think is going to be right and the right way. Okay? And if we really want to effect change, we need to trust God and ask Him and follow what He says we must do in that area. Okay? Not just what we think is best. All right. Okay. So after that, after Nehemiah got the king's permission to go, the next step that he does is he doesn't go straight away and start rebuilding the walls. All right? His first step is to travel to Jerusalem. Okay? And then at night what he does is he goes and inspects the gates. Okay, now why did he do that? Why didn't he just start straight away with rebuilding the walls? All right? I believe that the reason why, obviously, is because he wanted to understand what the real issues are, where and exactly what is wrong at the moment. Okay, so it says there, and I went out by night through the valley of the gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate and viewed the walls of Jerusalem which were broken down and its gates which were burned with fire. All right, so what he does in the beginning is he finds out, he inspects the gates, he works out what is his mission, what is his goal, okay? And in our lives, and where there are areas, like we said, where the walls are broken down, we need to understand what is the root issues here, okay? Because there are certain surface issues, all right, which we might think is the problem, but underneath there's actually a root issue that's actually the cause of what's going on. Okay, and we need to find those root issues. All right, and we as a church we do a lot of it. Okay, if we're thinking of the protests and the stuff that's happening on campus, you know, the stuff like the debates that we have. All right, or Johan's very good with looking at the issues, the real issues of what's going on in our world. Okay, and and those are ways of us really inspecting the gates. Okay, we really are trying to get down to the root problem of what's going on in our lives, or what's going on in the campus and that type of thing. Okay, so that's another thing I believe that we can do through prayer. Okay, God can show us the root issues, right? Because often it's very hard to see it, right, and to know what the root issue is. Okay, but it's also about talking to people, okay, engaging with people, right? Have a coffee with your friends or your the people in your work, all right? Go and work out what is the problem, okay? Talk to them, and start discovering what the real issue is, okay? All right, next step, or next thing. When we are going through this, or when we are attempting to rebuild walls, all right, and restore certain things to where God wants us, it's not going to be an easy path, all right? When we take up positions of leadership, all right, and we start effecting change, we will face opposition, okay? And often, in this case, when we hear this, we go, okay, well, I don't really want to be involved here. This is not what I signed up for, okay? But in our Christian walk, we face opposition. All right, we are, you know, the devil is out there. He's prowling like a lion, and he wants to devour. Okay, and especially us as Christians, he hates us. Okay, and he doesn't just want to give over that stuff that he's kind of taken control of very easily. Okay, he's not going to do it. So we will face opposition. All right, in Nehemiah's time, he faced massive opposition. Okay, he faced death threats. A lot of discouragement, okay? But he kept going because he knew that God had called him to do this. This was his mission, all right? So when he was building the walls, there were certain these people. So now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs and the Ammonites, I hope I've said that right, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Another translation says to come and kill. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Okay, so there was opposition. Okay, people, and the devil is not going to allow us to just go through this easily. Okay, there will be opposition, all right? But if we know what our calling is, we know what God has asked us to do and commissioned us to do, then that's what pushes us through. Okay, all of us have faced opposition at certain points in our lives. Okay, there's a lot of times, let's say in my work previously, where times are going tough, all right? And all that I can stand on is God's promise that I should be there, okay? And that's what brings me through, all right? And all of us need a promise from God. We need to know that our part, that which he has called us to do, and those walls that he has called us to repair in whatever area, we need that calling. We need to know that so that when we face opposition, we can stand on those promises. All right. So what happens there is he, in the face of that opposition, he takes practical steps to protect the people, okay, by setting watches and that type of thing. All right. So he goes on, and eventually the walls are rebuilt. Okay, he restores Jerusalem back to its former glory, in a sense. All right, well, the walls, in a sense. Then they can start with the inside part. Okay, but now what he's done is he's established a wall of protection around Jerusalem. Okay, we can skip that one. I'm not going to talk about that one. All right, so it says there, now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with dust on their heads. Then those of the Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for 1/4 of the day. And for another 1/4, they confessed and worshipped their God. Okay, so, I mean, if you do simple maths here, 1/4 of the day is 6 hours that they read the Bible, okay? And then for the next 6 hours, they worshipped the Lord. That's a lot of church. Okay, imagine we start. That's 12 hours of church, people. Okay, and we sometimes complain about 2 hours. But this was the result of what happened. So when the walls were rebuilt, okay, the next step that happened is people repented of their sins. Okay, there was a change in people's hearts. All right, and that's what I believe. Is going to happen when us as Christians start taking the lead to rebuilding walls in whatever area God has called us to do, okay? It's a process. It takes long. It's hard sometimes, to fight for your family, for instance. Sometimes it takes years, okay? But God has called us to do those things. And as we take a lead, all right, and as we go to what God has called us, we slowly rebuild those walls. And when those walls are rebuilt, okay, could be spiritually, it doesn't need to be anything physical, all right, then I believe that this is the next step, okay? Then people start repenting. They start turning back to the Lord, okay? And that's what I believe that we need. We need to, as Christians, take the lead to rebuild the walls, and therefore then the people will start turning back to the Lord. Okay, and I really believe that this is the answer for us. Okay, as a nation as well. Okay, as Christians stand up, all right, and we start taking the lead. We start, taking action and it could be small. I mean, you could be a stay-at-home mom, all right. That doesn't mean you're not a leader, all right, or whatever. You could be in a job that you think is kind of you're just in the background. Right? You are called to be a leader. God has called you to be a leader, okay, in whatever area. All right. Okay, so that's Nehemiah. That was his kind of, that's how he operated. All right, now I want to quickly talk about what is a godly leader. What are the attributes of a godly leader? Okay, what does it look like? How do we go about? How do we act? Okay. As I said, there's some of us who might think, well, I don't really desire to be a leader. Okay, I don't want to be a leader. I don't really want to take the lead or get into all of that stuff. It's just, it's not me. All right. As I said, I actually believe that we don't have a choice as Christians. Okay. We are called to lead. Okay. And it could be to be, you know, in a formal leadership position. A lot of us, I believe that that's the case. Okay. But it, as I said, it also could be to take those steps of leadership to effecting change. Okay, start praying for your friends. Start praying for your family if you're not doing it already. Okay. So the first thing with leadership is it's actually a call to lose your life. Okay. Leadership is not about our egos. Okay. It's not about us feeling important. All right. It's about glorifying God. Okay, that's why God has called us into leadership. Okay, because he wants to glorify his name through us. All right? And John, for me, was John the Baptist. This was an amazing quality that John had. All right? So there was a time when John obviously came to prepare the way for Jesus. All right? And it's the same almost calling as us as Christians. All right? We are here to prepare the way for Jesus. All right? And he was, at that stage in his life, he was very popular. Lots of people came to him. Lots of people knew about him. Even the Pharisees came to him. All right? And then Jesus arrives on the scene. And slowly but surely, people start leaving him and following Jesus. Some of his disciples left him and followed Jesus. All right? And some people came to him and said, you know, can you see what's happening here? Can you see that people are leaving you and they're following Jesus? All right? More people are getting baptized by Jesus than by you. Okay? Is this affecting you in any way? All right? And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Okay, and that to me is incredible, and that I believe is leadership. Okay, and that's when people are going to start trusting us as leaders, right? When this is our heart. When our heart is not about, you know, what we can get out of people, all right, or how important and what power we can get onto ourselves, all right. When our heart is ultimately that we must decrease and Jesus must increase, that's when people can trust us, okay. And that's when the Lord can trust us as well, all right, because he takes us from glory to glory, okay. But our call is as leaders and as Christians is to decrease, okay? And Jesus in our lives must increase, all right? When people see us, they must see Jesus. They must not see us, okay? If they see us, then there's too much of us in us, okay? We haven't killed all of us, all right? That's the answer, all right? Now, the next thing is obviously servant, being a servant. All right? And this is what we don't see in leadership at the moment. Okay? God is called leaders, and a leader should be a servant. Okay? Your ultimate goal and your ultimate vision is to see other people's lives affected for the good because of your position of leadership, not what we get out of it. Okay? Jesus showed that to us. All right? Matthew 23, verse 11, he said, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever humbles himself whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Okay? So God is saying, Jesus is saying here, that if you want to be a leader, if you desire to be a leader, a lot of us as well maybe desire to be leaders. Okay? You feel that you've got the ability to lead, and that's great. Okay? The Bible says it's good to desire to be a leader, all right? But the way that we go about it is not by climbing over everyone to get to the top, okay? The way that you become a leader is by serving, okay? So if you want to know how to become a leader, all right, and you're thinking, you know, how am I going to get to where I want to? Start by serving, Okay, start by taking the positions that are lowest. Okay, see how much you can serve and see what the Lord does. Okay, and when our heart is there to serve, then people can trust us as well. Okay, because they see that you are looking out for their needs and not your own. Okay, so leadership is really a call to servanthood. All right, and being a servant as well, it's not easy. Okay, being a leader, godly leader, is not an easy call. Okay, it's not about getting all the praise and all the, you know, I'm in the front and all the power and whatever. Okay, it's really a call to be a servant. A servant does the hard stuff, all right, the background stuff. Okay, and that's what God has called us to do as well, to serve. All right. Okay, the next quality of a leader is courage. Okay, us as Christians and as leaders, we need to be courageous. All right, and that means taking the paths that are hard sometimes. Okay, in Matthew 7 verse 13, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Okay? So if we desire to be leaders, all right, there are times when we are going to have to go through the narrow gate. Okay? There are decisions that you will have to make, and there's paths that you will have to walk which are harder than another path. Okay? There could be another path that's easier, but that is not what God has called you to do. All right? And that takes courage. Okay, it takes courage to stand up in your workplace and stand up for what is right. All right, if your boss is asking you to do something wrong, okay, it's hard to say no. All right, but that's what God has called us to do. Okay, God has called us to take that narrow path, those paths that no one else wants to really take. Okay, to effect change. All right, the next quality of a leader is that they trust in the Lord's strength and not their own strength. Okay. It's not your natural charisma or your strength or your humor or whatever it is that will get you anywhere. Okay. It's God's strength. All right. God is the one that gives us the ability. Okay. And often us as Christians in general, we're scared of our weaknesses. We're scared to show our weaknesses, all right? And we try as much as we can to kind of fix our weaknesses or cover it up, okay? But in 2 Corinthians, when Paul was talking, and he said, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" Okay. So us as Christians, where do we find our strength? We find our strength when we are weak. Okay. In those places of weakness, that's when God can, his perfect strength can enable us and can come into being. Okay. "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." All right. How many leaders say that? You know? A lot of leaders around there, they try and show that how strong they are, how in control they are. Okay? Jesus showed us a different way. He wasn't scared of his weaknesses, all right? And he wasn't scared to show his weaknesses. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was at probably his weakest point on earth, other than actually physically being on the cross, he didn't try to hide it, all right? He told his disciples, "Listen, guys, I'm in a bad space here. I need your help," all right? He wasn't afraid of that, okay? He wasn't afraid to show it. And often often leaders are so afraid to show their weaknesses because they think that, you know, someone's going to see that and take them down, okay? But we need to be open with that, okay? Because people can see that we're real, all right? And, You know, and it's not someone else that can take us down. God has put us in those positions. All right. Okay, the other type of things is they identified with the people, all right, like Nehemiah. Okay, he identified with the people. He wasn't just over there and they were here. He was, you know, he identified with them. He was with them. Okay, and the last thing is that a godly leader will invest in others. Okay, it's again not about how much you take; it's about how much you can give. Okay, how much can you invest in people? All right, training up leaders, discipleship. That's our call as Christians. Okay, it's a lot of leaders are scared of discipleship because they think, well, you know, if I disciple this person, they're going to kind of take my job or take whatever, my position of leadership. All right, our calling is to disciple. All right, we need to disciple people and train up leaders to be better than us. Okay, if they're not better than us, we haven't done our job properly. All right, and there again, it's not about an ego thing. Okay, we should be joyful, all right, and happy when someone that we've discipled surpasses us. Okay, because then we know we've actually done our job properly. Okay, that's what God has called us to do. All right, then the last thing is our agenda. Okay, us as Christians and in whatever position of leadership God has called us, okay, however small, however big, our agenda is always love. All right, that is what God has called us to do. Okay, there is no self-serving in love. Okay, there is only looking out for other people. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 13, very well-known scripture says, though I speak with the tongues of men and with angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And then a little bit further down it says, now abide in faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Okay, so our agenda as Christians, and this is pretty, we all know this, is love. Okay, if we don't show love to the world around us, we can do the most amazing things, we can have the most amazing church services, you know, whatever it is, it's going to profit us nothing. It's going to profit the kingdom nothing if we don't have, if love is not our motivation towards it. Okay. All right, let's quickly stand. Okay, we're just going to pray quickly. All right, Father, we just thank you for your calling, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are our Father, you are our ultimate leader, Lord. And as we submit to you, God, that you call us into those positions of leadership, Lord. And I want to pray, Father, that you show each single one of us, Lord, every one of us, where you want us to lead, in what area you want us to lead, Father. And if we don't have a heart for leadership, when we don't have a heart to take those positions that you've called us, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would change our hearts in that regard, Father, that we would take the road less traveled, Lord. We would stand up for what is right, Lord, and for your word, Lord, and Father, that we would effect change, God. And yeah, Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your help, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we don't do it alone, God, and that you walk beside us and you help us, Lord. You give us guidance, Father. And we just commit this to you, Father. I thank you, God, that you will show each one of us, Lord, these areas where we need to stand up and take the lead, Father. And, Lord, we just commit that to you, Father, in Jesus' name. I'm not going to call anyone up this morning, but I just want you to, just as you're standing there, if you've in the past been hurt by leadership or by leaders in your life, and that kind of places in you a distrust for leadership, okay, and leaders your life, all right, and also causes you maybe not to want to take up those positions of leadership that God has called us, then I just want you to just raise your hand and just acknowledge that before the Lord, okay? It's before no one else, I just want to pray for those people. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your heart, Lord. Thank you, your heart is good, Father, and that you never disappoint us, you never let us down, Lord. And I just pray for every one of us that has been hurt by leaders in the past, God, and we've experienced that manipulation or that whatever that people have tried to take from us and use us, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and heal our hearts, Lord. And you know, we know that in you is healing, Lord. In you is freedom, Lord. And I pray that you would just come and heal us, Lord. Come and show us your goodness, Lord God. And come into those areas, Father, that are hurting and that are broken, Lord. And as you heal us, Lord, that you are going to raise us up even more, Lord. We just commit that to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, then the last thing I want to do just before we close is I just want you to, two or three of you together or whatever, I want you to pray for our leaders. Okay, God has called us as Christians as well to pray for leaders. Okay, we can't just sit back and say, you're doing a bad job or whatever. All right? So I want you to, in groups of two or three, just pray for the leaders of this country. Pray for Jacob Zuma. Pray for the people involved in the students' protests and that type of thing. Pray for the people that maybe are not taking leadership or should be or whatever it is, or any kind of leadership that God places on your heart to pray for. Let's just spend like 5 minutes or so praying for those leaders, and then we're going to close off. Guys, we're going to close off now, so you're welcome to have some snacks in the back there once you're done.